Let's go over to Romans this morning. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, that is, if you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, page 1175. Page 1175, that'll take you to Romans, chapter number 8. We've been studying out this thing of the problem of the flesh. You know, out of all the three enemies of the Christian, the world, the flesh, and the devil, I believe the flesh is the one that we struggle with the most. If you find yourself struggling, I struggle to go to church. You know, you think, man, I struggle to get to church. I struggle to get to life group. I struggle to live the Christian life Monday. I struggle in my marriage. I'm struggling in raising my children. I'm struggling with this and that. If we're struggling with sins, addictions, whatever it is, guaranteed it goes back to this thing of walking after the flesh. Because here's the thing. Satan can influence us, but Satan can't make us do anything if we're saved. Satan cannot make you do anything. Yes, he can influence you, but he cannot make you do anything. Jesus Christ came that he might destroy the works of the devil. And if you're in Christ and you're saved, the devil can't make you sin. The problem goes back to the flesh. Jesus said that all of us have a fleshly body, and in it dwells the law of sin. It's unregenerate. It's an enmity with God. And that's why Jesus told the disciples, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's right, the flesh is weak. Now, in your handout, I want to kind of go through this, and real quickly, if you'll look with me on the front page of your handout, we looked at number one, the Christian's identity is no longer associated with the flesh. Christ cut that away when you got saved through a spiritual circumcision made without hands. Number two, the flesh cannot enslave the Christian unless the Christian chooses to follow the flesh. That's what we looked at. Number three, walking in the flesh always brings dreadful consequences. Walking in the flesh always brings dreadful physical, temporal condemnation and consequences. Number four, we said a fleshly walk may look good to others, but never to God. Other people may applaud you. You may be a superstar in your local church. Everybody thinks you're just Joe Humble. They think you're wonderful. They just see how you just serve God, and they applaud you and think you're great. You can be doing it all through the power of the flesh. A fleshly walk may look good to others, we saw last week, but never will it please God. Because God said, in our flesh dwells no good thing, and He said that no flesh would ever glory in His presence. So when you're walking in your own power, in your own strength, in your own fleshly effort, no matter how good you may look to other people, it can never please God. Never. I don't care what kind of results you see. You say, I got the biggest class in the church, you know, and man, I've got this and I've got that and I've done this and I've done that. You know what? It does not matter if you've done it through the power of the flesh. It'll all burn up one day at the judgment seat of Christ. Only what we do through Christ. Now, what's the answer to the problem of the flesh? Here it is in your handout. The only answer to the problem of the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. The only answer to the problem of the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 2. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life. Wow, there's a new law here. A new law that's been introduced. It's called the law of the Spirit of what? Come on, say it louder. The law of the Spirit of life. But wait a minute. If I'm dead in my sins, how can I have the law of the Spirit of life? Well, what's the next three words? In Christ Jesus. That's right. When you're in Christ, the law of the Spirit of life is introduced into you. And that law of the Spirit of life, that holds precedence and it takes authority over the previous law in your flesh. Look at it with me. He said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that other law that's in my flesh. It's called the law of what? Sin and death. the law of sin and death's in my flesh, but then God said, I've put a new law in you, and you got that law in Christ, and it's the law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life has made me free. You say, what's that talking about? Look at Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. He says here, but ye are not in the flesh. That's no longer your position. You're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, notice the condition, you're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell where? In you. That's right. You have, your whole identity's changed. See, you're no longer in the flesh. He says you're in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwell in you. Look at the rest of it. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That's that spiritual circumcision. The body is dead now because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell where? In you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken and make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Clearly, the Bible here is teaching us that God has placed the Spirit of Christ, His Son, in us once we're saved. Now, if you're saved, then you have Christ's Spirit as a present possession living inside of you. Now, if you're not saved, you're in your sins. The Spirit of God's not in you. He said, if the Spirit of God's not in you, you're none of His. So you're either in Christ or you're in your sins. It's one or the other. There's no in between. You're either in Christ or you're in your sins. When it comes to overcoming the problem of the flesh, though, it's not a situation where you overcome the flesh just by having the Holy Spirit, but rather in your handout, it talks about walking in the Spirit. When it comes to overcoming the problem of the flesh, the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit. Let's look at it. Look at Romans chapter number 8 with me, verse 1. Okay, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the, say it with me, flesh. Trying to get you to interact with me here, but after the, we walk after the Spirit. Okay, look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? You see that? You either walk after the flesh or you walk after the Spirit. It's one or the other. There's no in between. The key to overcoming the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. The only way to overcome the problem of the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. Oh, how I want you to get that today. Oh, how I want you to see that today. Oh, how I want us to get it in these old thick head of ours that it's not going to happen by keeping a list of do's and don'ts and keeping a bunch of rules. And you think, well, I'm keeping all the rules, so I'm walking in the Spirit. Paul said, no, you can keep the law and you can try to live by the law, but all you're doing is you're walking after the flesh. You see, I want you to see that the answer to this problem of the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. That's the only answer to the problem. Look with me at Galatians chapter number 5. You go to your right, a few books. That's page 1213. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 1213. That'll take you to Galatians 5. And let's look at Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, Paul said, this I say then, verse 16, this I say then, church, say it with me, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In your handout, it says, just because you have the Holy Spirit does not mean that you are walking in the Spirit. Look with me at Galatians 5:25. Galatians 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit. Now, let me explain something. How do you live in the Spirit? Just, you're saved. If you're saved, you are living in the Spirit. You cannot ever escape the Spirit. He lives in you. You're living in the Spirit. He's with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No matter what you go, what you say, what you do, how much you mess up, how much you may sin, the Bible says that if we're saved, we live in the Spirit. He is with us at all times. But wait a minute, look at the rest of the verse. If we live in the Spirit, in other words, you've got Him. He said, let us what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. What does that mean to walk in the Spirit? You ever think about that? Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? You see, let me give you an illustration. Let's say that Brother Rob over here, Brother Rob Hall, our youth director, he's walking to work, and I see him out there on Clyde Morris, and he's walking to work. And he lives way, way down in Port Orange. I see him walking. I stop by. I was like, hey, Rob, man, you need a lift? He's like, yeah. He gets in the car. I said, man, what are you doing walking? I'm walking to work. Really? Well, don't you have a car? And he says, well, yeah, I got a brand new car, man. It's a 2006. It's in my garage. And I look at him and I say, well, okay. Why don't you use it? Oh, well, it's just in the garage and everything. But no, I mean, I'm going to walk to work. He said, that's ridiculous. You know, having a car in your garage and driving in that car is two different things. Would you agree? Having the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit are two completely different things. You see, it's utilizing what you have been given by God when you got saved. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5, the next book after Galatians. Ephesians chapter 5, and notice how it words it here. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But, notice the command, be what? Filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit is synonymous with walking in the Spirit or walking after the Spirit. Whether we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, they all speak of the same thing. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Let me give you a definition. It's in your handout. Walking in the Spirit, what does it mean? Here we go. As the believer yields himself to Christ and rests in Him, depending on Him completely, he is filled, he is controlled by Christ's Spirit. So if I'm relying on Christ in whatever I'm doing, I'm walking in the Spirit. Listen, being filled with the Spirit is not spooky, it's not mysterious, it's not this emotional response. Being filled with the Spirit simply means that you recognize that Christ lives in you, that you need Him, you're trusting Him, you're depending on Him in whatever you're doing at that moment. And as you depend on Christ in you, as you rest in Him, then you're walking in the Spirit. Remember, it's the Spirit of Christ. So as I rest in Him and depend on Him in whatever I'm doing, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking after Christ. I'm walking after the Spirit. I'm filled with the Spirit. Take your Bible and go now over to Colossians. Go forward a couple more books. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I want you to get your pen, and I want you to underline every time you see the phrase, in Him. Because the Him is speaking of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And every time you see in Him, realize that's in Christ. Now let's look and let's study. Okay? Colossians 1:19. Let's remember now, we need to study. We need to think. We need to learn. When we come to church, we don't come to just be entertained. We come to learn the Bible. Look at Colossians 1:19, okay? For it pleased the Father that, what's the phrase? In Him, underline that, in Him, in Christ, should some fullness dwell? No. In Christ should all fullness dwell. That is very important. By virtue of His glorious resurrection from the dead, All divine fullness dwells in Jesus Christ, in Him. Now go to Colossians 2:9. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Underline the phrase "in Him" when you see it. Don't forget. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you understand what you just read? All the power, all the authority, all the fullness of the Godhead is embodied in Christ, in Him. Ooh, now it gets really good. Because look at verse 10. This is where it really gets good, man. And ye, talking to Christians, you are complete, underline it, what does it say? In Him. Man, that's good. You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, I want you to look at verse 10 and notice the word complete. And ye are what? Complete. That word complete is the same word as that word up in verse 9, fullness. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He turns around, uses the same Greek word, and ye are complete. You're filled in Him. That means, now I want you to understand what this means, okay? This means that the divine fullness, stay with me, the divine fullness that's in Him, in Christ, verse 9, is now in us. You say, why? How come all, you mean the divine fullness of God is in me? Yes. Why? Because we are in Him. That's why he says you're complete in Him. What a position. Wait a minute. How do we appropriate that and make that good in our daily life? Go to Colossians 2, verse 6. Turn back to verse 6. He says, here's how it works out in a practical sense. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Remember the phrase we're looking for. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. There it is, underline it, in Him. Look at the next verse. Rooted and built up, what? In Him. Do you see it, my friend? Walking in the Spirit means that you're living a life that relies on Christ as your source of life and strength. That's in your handout. I hope you'll get that statement. Walking in the Spirit means that you're living a life that relies on Christ as your source of life and strength. You're depending on His resources, not your own. We all have flesh patterns that we have learned. You have learned flesh patterns in your marriage, how you can manipulate your spouse. Guarantee it. I'll guarantee it. You've got flesh patterns that you have rely on to control and manipulate your spouse. And then when they do it to you, you've got flesh patterns where you can turn it around to them, you know, and manipulate them. You've got flesh patterns at work. You've got flesh patterns that you rely on in your job or at college or at school or in other relationships and friendships. We've all got these flesh patterns. What are they? They're ways that we have learned how to manipulate circumstances to our advantage. They're ways that they're talents maybe or abilities or manipulative skills that we've developed through the years whereby we can get what we want. And that's walking after the flesh. It's doing it your way. It's relying on you. That's what it means to walk after the flesh. You rely on you and your manipulative skills or your talents or your abilities, your knowledge. What you think you should do. You're depending on your resources. Walking in the Spirit means I'm depending on Christ's resources. I'm depending on the fullness that I have in Christ in me. I'm depending on Him, trusting Him in my marriage, trusting Him with my child rearing, trusting Him with work, trusting Him on the job. All through the day, I have a Christ consciousness of my need of Him in all that I do. Anything else is flesh, and it's going to burn up. It's no good. It cannot glory in the presence of God. What are some warning signs that you're not walking in the Spirit? You know, warning signs are great when you're out traveling. You ever not see a warning sign and there's a dip in the road? I hate when that happens. Ooh, that makes me mad. And your car, you know, the front thing goes boom. And you're like, man, why don't they put a sign on the road warning you about that? And then the next day you see there is one, you know. You're like, ah, I didn't see it, you know. And you know, a lot of times we're walking in the flesh and we don't see the warning signs. Can I give you a couple warning signs? First one is this. A warning sign that you're walking after the flesh. You ready? You are exhausted in your efforts to serve and please God. You are exhausted and you're burned out in your efforts to serve and please God. That is a warning sign you're doing it in the flesh, not through Christ. Now, I'm not talking about physical exhaustion, okay? We are in bodies that get tired. They require sleep. Hey, Jesus himself got tired. Remember, he was asleep on the boat when the disciples had to come wake him up. Why? He was tired. We all get physically tired. I'm not talking about that. Mondays, I'm exhausted. After preaching all day Sunday, doing choir and all that, I'm exhausted on Monday. I feel like a truck's run over me. I mean, Mondays, I'm physically exhausted. Paul said, though, that he said, our outward man perishes, but he said, my inward man is renewed day by day. You see, I'm not talking about you being exhausted physically. If you are exhausted in your spirit, that lets you know what? I'm not doing this through Christ. I think this is all about me. I'm doing it through my fleshly power. When it goes from just a physical exhaustion to you're just all anxious and uptight in your spirit and you're just all stressed out and you're just exhausted and you're just burned out spiritually. No, that's not Christ in you. That's you, my friend. You better wake up, look in the mirror, and realize that's you. Sometimes I have people join the church. Pastor, I want to join the church, but I don't want to do anything. They tell me that. Oh, really? Well, now, why is that? That's unusual. You want to join the team? Sit the bench. You know, why is that? Well, because, I'm coming from a church, and maybe they moved to the area, and boy, my other church, I headed up this committee, and I did this, and I did that, and I taught a class, and I worked the nursery, and I am just burned out. Antenna should go up. Warning sign, warning sign. You're doing it through your fleshly power and ability. It's not Christ in you doing it. Physical exhaustion, yeah. Spiritual, no. No. We're going to see that that's not what Christ has promised us. Look, another warning sign that you're walking after the flesh. You are depressed because of a lack of results. You are depressed because of a lack of results. That's a warning sign you're walking after the flesh. You see, we want outward visible blessings. Man, I mean, we want blessings that we can see and that we can measure. Why? When you walk after the flesh is a physical thing. And so when you're walking after the flesh, you want to see physical, visible blessings and results. And you know what? The bottom line is they're not always there. Sometimes God works behind the scenes. Sometimes He works beyond the scope of our human comprehension. Sometimes God is doing things in here right now that Dan Proctor will never see. There are things that God is doing right now through His Word as we study it this morning that I'll never know the results until I get to heaven. Brother Rob, you may never see any outward, visible, woo, results from your lesson this morning to the teenagers. But you know what? In heaven, if we do it through His power and through His Spirit, you know what? There's a lot of results we're just not going to see till we get to heaven. And that's why Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't put the things that we see are temporal. The things that we don't see, he said, are eternal. The Apostle Paul didn't always have visible blessings and results. Sometimes he ended up in prison and he said, this thou knowest, all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Paul didn't always have outward, physical, visible results. When we walk after the flesh, though, we want them. That's what we focus on. We're depressed because we don't have... Another warning sign, you're always relying on somebody or something to recharge your battery. I hear Christians tell me this. Oh, Brother Dan, I'm kind of down right now. My spiritual battery's drained. And I need a spiritual charge. And so they're always looking to a seminar or a conference or a revival or a new book or the pastor's message, and they expect the pastor to come in and just charge their battery every Sunday, and we're always looking for something to recharge our battery. That's a warning sign. You're walking after the flesh, because here's the thing. When you're walking in the Spirit, you realize Christ is my battery, and Christ never needs recharging. Amen. He never needs recharging. So if you feel like, well, I just need to be recharged, you know what? Again, physically, yeah, we need a good night's sleep. We need to get physically recharged by sleeping. But spiritually, if we're losing our charge, then that means we're not walking in Christ anymore. We're doing it in us, through us. Another warning sign is you're serving God out of religious duty, not love and joy. Well, I got to go to church, I guess, today. Well, I guess I got to go work up in that nursery and hear them babies crying today. Well, I guess I'm going to have to get up and go teach that class again today. You know what? If that's our attitude, that's a warning sign. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking after the flesh. Because when you're walking in the Spirit, we serve God out of love and joy. We give our offerings out of love and joy. We give our service out of love and joy. It's not something we have to do. We look at it as something we get to do. That it's a privilege and it's a joy. Hey, take your Bible and go to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew 11. And this text right here is interesting. It's misused a lot, misappropriated. And I want to real quickly explain. Here in Matthew 11, Christ is speaking to the nation of Israel concerning the rest that He's going to give them one day when He returns to the earth. And Christ is going to give Israel a physical, visible kingdom on this earth. And Israel will finally have rest and peace at last. That's the immediate context. But here's what I want you to see. Look at verse 28. He tells them, "Come unto Me," Jesus said, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And He said, "I." Notice where the rest is found. It's in Christ. He said, "I will give you" what? Rest. Israel is going to have to see that the rest is only going to be found in Christ. One day when Israel sees that their only hope of rest is in Christ, and they turn to Him in the tribulation, and they acknowledge Him as King, then He's going to return. He's going to give them that rest. Look at verse 29. "Take My yoke upon you," He tells them, "and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find" what? "Under your souls? Rest. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Now, here's what I want you to see. While the direct doctrine here is dealing with Israel and the kingdom rest He's going to bring them on this earth, what I want you to see is that the rest and the peace that's going to embody that physical kingdom of heaven, that kingdom that will come from heaven to earth for Israel, the rest and peace that's going to embody that physical, visible kingdom, it now resides in the heart of believers. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God, not kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is a literal visible kingdom that's going to come from heaven down to earth. But the kingdom of God, which by the way, Jesus said is not with observation. He said the kingdom of God is in you. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not something physical and visible. It's not something that you can taste or handle or see. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. He said, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, you've got that inside of you. So if peace and joy don't characterize you, then wait a minute, there's a warning sign. I'm walking after the flesh. I'm not walking in what I've been given in Christ. Walking in the Spirit just means that you're appropriating the life of Christ by faith that's in you. That's why He said in Colossians 2:6, we read it earlier, He said, as you receive the Lord. How did you receive the Lord? Did you have to work to do it? How did you receive the Lord? You received Him by faith. As you receive the Lord, so walk ye in Him, by faith. That's what Paul was trying to get the Galatians to see. We've been studying out on Wednesday night. Galatians 3, 1 through 3, I'm going to paraphrase. He tells the Galatians, he said, you started, listen, stay with me, think. He said, you started the Christian life by total faith, total dependence on Jesus. Now you think you're going to live the Christian life by your laws and your rule keeping and by your own fleshly willpower and effort? I don't think so. That's what Paul's telling them in Galatians 3. In your handout is a great statement. It says, Christ isn't simply in your life, He is your life. Christ isn't simply in your life, He is your life. You have to come to the place where you stop trying to live the Christian life. Maybe your prayer has been this, and I've been there, believe me. Lord, help me to live the Christian life. Help me to live the Christian life. Let me let you in on a little secret. He's already answered that prayer. You're praying something He's already done. When you got saved, He placed you in Christ and He put the Spirit of His Son into your heart. What more do you want? How much more help do you want? You got Christ in you. What else do you expect Him to do? He put Christ in you. It's kind of like if I woke up in the morning and without me knowing it, my wife Denise realizes I've got no money in my billfold. I'm going to be eating out for lunch that day, maybe taking somebody lunch. She puts a $10 bill in my billfold. And so I go to the office, realize I don't have any money, and I start praying, oh, Lord, give me $10 for lunch. Please give me $10 for lunch. Oh, I'm hungry. My stomach's growling. God, give me $10 for lunch. And Denise happens to be over in the secretary's office and hears me in there just hollering for praying, you know. And she comes in and says, what are you doing? I'm praying for $10 for lunch. She says, I put $10 in your wallet this morning. And I'm like, oh, okay. I just need to take out and use what I got. You know what? That's like us. Lord, help me live the Christian life. He's put Christ in you. All that's left is for you to just by faith walk in Him. God's not interested in helping you live the Christian life, but rather Christ wants to live His life through you. I've got a letter here that a lady in our church named Nancy Lanois wrote. Her mother passed away. And I said, Nancy, could I use this? She said, absolutely. Listen to what she wrote. This is a lady in our church whose mother passed away. She was very close to her mother. She said, I thank God for you, Crossroads Baptist Church, more than a poster on the wall, more than a message on your stationery, more than words. You demonstrate that you are a church for others. You showed this to me and my family during these weeks surrounding my mother's death. It's not just the pastor either. He was on vacation at the time. As a testament to the commitment and love of this church family, everything was taken care of without Pastor Dan. She goes on and thanks many, many people individually. And then she says, it's clear that no one person made it all happen. And then I love this. She said, well, maybe it was just one person, Jesus Christ in you. I thank God for living through you to show His love to us. I know that He was in me during my mom's illness, death, and funeral preparations. Please continue to pray for me as I begin to heal. My mother meant so very much to me. Jesus honored my prayers for her salvation. He is an awesome God. That knowledge will strengthen me and give me peace. Pray that our God of peace will fill that empty space with His joy and all the loving memories of my mother. What a great, great, great letter. She said, well, maybe it was one person, Jesus Christ in you. Every day, you know what your attitude needs to be, Christian? Now, if you can just get this, you know, this will make such a difference in your life. You know, sometimes I just want to go up to young people. I like Dylan over here, and man, Dylan, how old are you, buddy? 17 years old. I just want to put my arm around you. I just want to say, man, you're struggling to live the Christian life. And most of the time, I say, yeah, I'm struggling. And I just want to look at him and say, you know what? You can't do it. It's got to be Christ in you. It's got to be Christ living His life through you. You have to be yielded to Him. You have to walk in Him. I got a Boy, I got a boy that's fixing to turn 17. If there's one thing I've tried to teach Clint, it's Clint, you can't live the Christian life. Only one person can ever live it, and that's Christ. But He lives in you, and He'll live through you if you yield to Him. And as you yield to Him and you trust Him moment by moment, day by day, He will live His life through you. And you know what that's called? That's called walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means that you live a life of total reliance on Jesus Christ. You no longer are going to follow those flesh patterns and those fleshly manipulative skills you've developed over the years. You're going to renounce those, and you're going to rely totally on the resources of Christ in you. In your handout, it says you are not focused on your sin, you're not focused on the law, you're not focused on religious rules or religious performance. Your focus is Christ alone. And I want you to look with me at Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4 in your handout. Colossians 3 in your handout, verses 1 through 4. I've got it typed out for you there. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. You're dead. But wait a minute. And your life. So you do have life. Even though you're dead, the old Dan Proctor. Wait a minute. There's a new Dan Proctor. You're dead, but your life is hid with who? Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life. Didn't say He just gave you life. Said He is your life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. You know, hey, before we go, I want to share this with you. I thought this was so awesome. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. He goes up into the mountain with them. And the Bible says when they were up in that mountain, Jesus transfigured Himself before Him. In other words, He gave them a glimpse of the kingdom glory that He's going to possess in that kingdom on earth. And He let them catch a glimpse, a foretaste of the kingdom glory that Christ is going to have when He rules and reigns on this earth. And when He was transfigured before them, old Peter speaks up. And Peter sees Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. And Peter says, "Oh, it's good that we're here. Let me make three tabernacles for you, for all three of you to dwell in." And while Peter was talking, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and a voice came out of the cloud. And the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Let me tell you something. Old Peter shut up, and he hit the dirt. And the Bible says, man, they hit the ground, and they were sore afraid. Jesus came, and He touched them. And He said, "Arise, be not afraid." Now listen to this verse. This is Matthew 17:8. "And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." They saw no man except Jesus only. We don't focus upon Christ in His kingdom glory. We're not in that time period. You know what our focus is? Our focus is on Christ, whom we can't see physically, but with the eye of faith, we see Christ resurrected, ascended to the right hand of the Father, exalted and given a name above every name, and there He ever lives as our intercessor and our mediator. And we look in faith to Him. Our focus is on Him and Him alone. We don't see all these other things around. We keep our eyes upon Christ. And as you focus on Jesus and you yield and you rest in Him, He lives His life through you. That's walking in the Spirit. That's what that is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed.